Please welcome back to the microphone, Willie Weir.
I was the Charlie Brown of my Little League baseball team. The only time I ever got on base was when I walked or when I got hit by a pitch. And I still, to this day, can hear the voices of my teammates' fathers yelling from the sidelines, "Lean in, Willie, lean in." We got to the last game of our horrible season, and my batting average still stood rock solid at .000. And my manager, well, he resorted to bribery. He offered me $10 if I got a base hit. And our season ended, and my manager's net worth remained the same. And you would think with that kind of history, that was my only season in baseball, one disastrous Little League season, that I would have nothing to do with baseball. I love baseball. I adore baseball. And I grew up in Sacramento, California. And my brother, Jeff, is 7 years older than me. And, well, before I could drive, I would beg him. I would beg him to drive us to Oakland. And there we would watch the Oakland A's. And this is the early 70s. This is Sal Bando, Reggie Jackson, Catfish Hunter, Vita Blue, 1972, 73, 74, three World Series sweeps, and some of the best baseball that anybody could ever watch. And then in 1985, I moved to Seattle. I heard a joke pretty soon after I arrived here, and it was that somebody had parked their car in Pioneer Square, and they'd left two baseball tickets on the front dash, and when they came back to their car had been broken into, and there were now seven. Yeah, the Mariners, they were not very good back then. And but the thing about it was, the great thing is that if you didn't have very much money, it didn't matter, because people were always giving away tickets. They purchased them, but they just didn't go to the baseball game. They had excuses like this was their adopt-a-street weekend, and they had to go pick up litter, and so you'd get their ticket and head out to the ball game. And we'd head out into the right field bleachers, and well, the Mariners did their thing, and so they were usually behind by 4 to 11 runs by the time you got to the seventh inning. And so in order to keep things entertaining, we had to entertain ourselves, and so we did several things. But one of the things that we did do is we learned to sing Take Me Out to the Ball Game backwards. Game. Ball old yet out your strikes. 3-2-1, it's 4. Shema is window, the if team home, the 4 root 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 is 4 back at ever. I if cared on I jacker. Crack and nuts be some me by. Crowd the with out me take game ball the 2 out me take. Come 1989, and the Mariners get Ken Griffey Jr. And they still sucked. But you know what? You knew if you went to that baseball game and spent 9 innings there, that at least once, but usually more than that, with his bat or with his glove, Ken Griffey Jr. would produce baseball magic. I spent 5 months bicycling around the subcontinent of India, and I can tell you, as a matter of fact, that baseball does not exist there. Its historical predecessor, cricket, however, reigns supreme. I came into one town, and I saw over 200 men, and they were outside of a shop. I originally thought it was a riot, and I slowly approached and realized as they crammed closer and closer together, and I worked my way through the crowd, and I realized they were looking in through the shop window, and at the very back, through this plate glass window, was a little television set, and there was a cricket test match being televised. Test matches last 5 days. And I was in India when the Indian national team lost a test match to their arch rivals Pakistan, and the entire subcontinent went into depression. I was cycling in this little town in Rajasthan, and it was winter, so it meant it was only 91 degrees at about 9:15 a.m., and I came around a corner, around these buildings, and there was an open field. And there were all of these little kids practicing their national sport. I was really enthralled. I'd only see it on television. So I pulled my bicycle up, got off from my seat, and no sooner had I that the kids looked over and realized there was a foreigner on a bicycle. They dropped everything and came running towards me. One of the kids spoke English, and I heard him say, "Do you play?" Oh, no, no, no. And before I could protest, I had a cricket bat in my hand. And they put me up in front of the wickets, and I stood there. And I had watched it on television, so I knew that I didn't hold it like a baseball bat. It was kind of more like a golf stance. So I held the cricket bat down low, and people started to giggle around me, so I know my stance was unconventional. And the kid, they don't call him the pitcher, they call him the bowler. And he went up to the pitch, and he had that cricket ball in his hand, and he looked at me, and he said, "I throw slow." Oh, thank God. I stood there with my cricket bat, and all these kids got in position, and the kid took this little trot. And the delivery is always has to be straight-armed. And he swung around, and the ball bounces. It's supposed to in front of you, and I swung. And over 25 years had passed, and my fortunes had not changed at all. An absolute whiff, and there were giggles and laughter everywhere. And I sat there, stood there with that cricket bat in my hand, and I was 9 years old all over again. But then I thought to myself, wait a second, Willie, you're not nine. You're over 30 years old. You don't have to deal with this. And I just looked at those kids, and I took the cricket bat, and I just threw it down on the ground, and I walked back to my bicycle. And as I got there, and I went to get on, there was a little voice inside that said, "Don't think Charlie Brown, Willie. Think Ken Griffey Jr." I went over, and I picked up that cricket bat, and I walked up front of the wickets, and I stared at that little kid, and his grin only grew wider as he looked at me and he said, "Fast now." That little kid trotted back, and he took the longest run that is legally allowed in cricket, and he wheeled that arm around and threw that cricket ball with all of his 13-year-old might. That ball bounced in front of me. I know I closed my eyes, and it was just... I connected. I mean, I seriously connected. I mean, that ball flew over his head. It flew over all of the kids' heads, and it landed behind some boulders. And immediately, 30 Indian kids dropped what they had, and they started chanting and running up to me, and they were all yelling, "Six! Six!" I knew just enough of the rules of cricket to finally realize what that meant. It had taken me 32 years and a bicycle journey halfway around the world, but I had finally hit a home run.
Sandbox Radio, The Naked Truth was written by Scott Augustin, Vincent Delaney, Paul Mullen, and Wayne Raleigh, with original music composed by Jose Juicy Gonzalez. Make Our Garden Grow from Leonard Bernstein's Candide featured soloists Heather Curtis Mullen and Aaron Shanks and was conducted by Bruce Monroe. Learn more about Willie Weir and his adventures in cycling 60,000 miles around the world at willieweir.com. Charles Leggett's poem, Invitation, appears in the journal Words and Images, University of Southern Maine in Portland, 2012. The Naked Truth was recorded by Christopher Stewart and mixed by Dave Pascal. Our sound assistant was Jake Transu, and our stage manager was Teresa Micheletti. Sandbox Radio is made possible by the generous financial support of audience members like you. Help us create future episodes with a tax-deductible donation at sandboxradio.org. Hope to see you at the next live show, and thanks for listening.